All right. Wish to greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. Blessing to be here with you all again this morning. Really. Music was a blessing. All the things that were shared. Just a real encouragement. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you, God, for your goodness and for your mercy, Lord. We thank you, Father, for all that you do for us. We just ask you to help us be faithful to you. Fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom, Father. As we open your words, we live our lives. Help us be full of courage and strength, Father. Again, we just want to thank you. Lord, we just again ask your help this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Let's open our Bibles to James chapter 2. Just read in 12, verse 12, start in there. It says, "So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty." So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. Just, if we could get our minds around who God is, and who we are, and his purpose for us. Just take this verse, it says, "So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty." Our response to God's claim on our life, that's what faith is. You know, we see that faith in the Bible, and we have ideas of what faith is, that if we just believe something. But God's claim on our life and his our response to that is what takes faith. You know, there's people that can just take verses of Bible and whole portions of Bible or establish some doctrine and just live according to those doctrines, and it doesn't take an ounce of faith to do that. In God, we can do all those things. We can be religious. It's just all around us. But real faith is something that's very difficult. It's something that we have to get past what we can just actually see and trust in something that we can't actually see. It says, he's talking, James is, and I, like I said, I've said it many times before, how I really appreciate James and Peter, these smaller epistles there towards the end of the Bible. And these are men who walked with Jesus. They lived with him all those years that he was in his ministry. And they were close to him. These were the closest people that actually lived with the incarnation of God in the flesh. They spent their lives with him. They camped out with him every night and went and saw him in his ministry. They saw how he lived and saw how he acted and sat at his feet and were close to him. It's just inspiring to me to listen to these men who actually spent this much time in their closeness. And James says, "So speak and act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty." And one of the things I want to bring out this morning is that Christ came to set us free. He came to set the captives free. His You know, a lot of people say that Jesus just died for our sins so that we could be forgiven, that he had to die so that God's anger could be appeased. But the purpose for Jesus coming into this world was to overcome Satan and defeat him so we could be set free, that he could give us that liberty. And what James is encouraging us and teaching us to do is to speak and to act like those who will be judged by the law of liberty. Not the law, the Old Testament law, not whatever we conjure up in our mind, but the law of liberty, being free. It's so important that we understand that the purpose for Christ coming is to set us free from Satan and his power. You know, in the Garden of Eden, whenever Eve chose to give the fruit to her husband and he partook of it, and man was separated from God. It wasn't just that they were separated, it was that they had become under the power of Satan. And Satan had the title to man. That's why men today have addictions, that they're slaves to all kinds of things. And that's why when Jesus came into the Roman world and the Jewish world, they were actually under bondage to Rome. And the people were looking for a Savior to set them free from the physical bondage of the existence of the circumstances around them. But Jesus came to do much more than that. He came to set us free in our souls, in our hearts, to give us life. And the life that God would have us to live. That, you know, we see the parallels all around us in the real world of the spiritual level. We see people trying to bring us under bondage, like they had the Romans had brought the Jewish people under bondage, and they were slaves to them, and they hated it. But it's a picture of what Satan has actually done to humanity. And Jesus came to set us free from all of those things, to set us free in our hearts and souls, that we could live free, even though we may be in bondage. It's just amazing, the parallels of the actual world. There's people that are in the world that are trying to dominate the world and just bring everyone into subjection and bring us under their control and power. And yet, we can, even in those situations, still be free in our hearts and our souls. You know, Floyd brought out the things that are going on sometimes. And, you know, we look at the Bible and we look at the world around us, and we just want the best for us and for everyone. And we see things that are happening that just don't look like it's going to be very good for us or for anybody. But yet, whenever we really look at the Bible, we see that things could be a lot worse. And if you just look at what's some of the things in Revelation, some of those scary things that are going on there, we might have to go through some of that. And some of those things may happen to us. We may have to go through some of those things. It's fearful sometimes when you think about it, but those things might have to take place before Jesus returns. I appreciate the thought that Floyd brought out, that our focus should be on Jesus returning and the triumph of his returning instead of the dread of what we might have to go through before he returns. I just want to encourage us to speak and act, so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. Help us live our lives that's our focus, that we're not brought under bondage I'm going to read a verse in Romans chapter 7 here, a few verses, then I'll come back. Verse 12 says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lust. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. And that's that. Don't let sin be the master over you. That's what he came to do, is to set us free from those things. A lot of times our focus, we look on a few acts that we might fail in, and we put our focus in on quit trying to do those things instead of looking at ourselves and seeing that the problem often is much deeper. It's in the root. It's in our heart. And that if we get our heart where it's at rest in the Lord, it's at rest in the perfect law of liberty, we have the courage and the grace and the strength just to kind of almost glide above a lot of those things that used to trap us and a lot of catches. Faith. Responding to God's claim on our life. You know, there's verses in the Bible that tell us to fear God. And whenever we think of fear of God, we usually get things all backwards. We usually put that kind of fear, the fear of God, into the fear that we see in the world. They're not the same kind of fear. Whenever we fear God, it's not to be scared to death of God. It's not to be trembling and afraid to move or paralyzed. It is to be met with, the fear of God is like faith. It's to respond towards Him instead of away from Him. The slave that was mentioned by the boys, one of them, that he took his talent and he was afraid, it said. You know, there's a lot of people that fear God in that way. God gives them something and they're afraid of God. And so they go and hide what He's given them. They do the opposite of respond properly to God. They just cower in fear. And they don't do anything, thinking that they're doing right because they're fearing God. But that's not the kind of response God's looking for. As we find in the example, you know, whenever the man came to his master, he said, take away what he's been given. And he said, you worthless and lazy servant. You know, a lot of times our response is just so we don't have to do anything. But that's not the response of faith. Fear, like was brought out earlier, paralyzes us. And it's not the kind of fear. It's the opposite of faith. In Revelation, it talks about that the fearful and the unbelieving. And then it goes on with murderers and sorcerers and adulterers and all kinds of evil things. And it says they'll all have their part in the lake of fire, it says. That fear is not faith. It's the opposite of faith. And so many times we allow that to control us. There's a verse in the Bible that says, let not your heart be troubled. And it says, let not your heart be troubled. Let not. That's telling us that we have a response. We have something that we can do. And that boys talked about responsibility quite a bit. We can do all the right things a lot of times. But one of the things that it's telling us to do is let not your heart be troubled. That gives us a responsibility that we don't have to be overwhelmed by fear. We don't have to be paralyzed by fear. We don't have to just be afraid of what's going on. Let not your heart be troubled. You know, just like anything, sin starts in the little things. The Bible says it's the little foxes that spoil the grapes. And how often we see it's the little things that usually wind up leading us into something bigger. We need to learn right up front, right quick. You know, if there's something that we're troubled with, is there something, an area that we fail in, an area that we're weak, what we need to do is learn the little signs or the little things that, the little warnings that say don't go down that road and you won't wind up in that road. You know, and that's where fear is, and that's what is let not your heart be troubled. Whenever you first are approached by fear, look at it as an evil. You know, I'm sure most of you aren't going to go out and do drugs tomorrow and aren't even tempted by it. You're not going to go out and get drunk and do something stupid. Not even tempted by it. There's a lot of these evil things. You're not going to just fall into witchcraft tomorrow. Start making spells and doing all kinds of things like that. It ain't going to happen. You're not probably just going to go kill somebody tomorrow. You're not even tempted to. It'd be the most, you wouldn't even think about it. You wouldn't want to do it. You'd shudder the thought of it. But then fear comes along. And we start playing with it. We start letting our hearts get troubled. We start letting it upset us. And then pretty soon it gets a little worse. And then it gets a hold of us. I mean, we can almost panic because we're in fear. Because we've followed the path. We've ignored the warning signs. And we wind up, and we're scared to death. We wind up paralyzed. So that our response to God on our life is not one of courage and strength, but it winds up being one of, I'll just go hide this talent. I'll just put it in a napkin because I know the Lord's fearful. And I don't want to lose it. And so we cultivate that, and it grows and grows and grows until we're afraid. And then instead of having faith to respond to what God wants us to do, we have fear in what God wants us to do, and we respond the wrong way. It's not those acts that we were talking about, those bad acts, that's the problem. It's a heart that wants to yield itself to the perfect law of liberty and that can trust in God. I saw a sign this week that said, don't tell God how big your problems are. Tell your problems how big God is. You know, whenever we see God in that way, that all of these things that are around us, all these things that are happening to us, all these things that we're going through, God is so much bigger than all of them. They are absolutely nothing in the sight of God. But we allow these thoughts of fear in our minds, or whatever we're tempted with, whatever we fail with, we let them grow in our minds, and they grow and they grow and they grow. And they become this big monster that is so much bigger than we are. And it's all because we've let it grow, we've fed it, we've created it in our own hearts and minds. And we've let it become a monster. And it is absolutely nothing. It's not real. It's just what we've allowed to grow in our minds. We see this in all kinds of areas. I mean, we see someone and we're afraid of them. Or we think they've done us wrong. Or we think they've done wrong. And so we begin to build this monster about this person in our mind. And it just grows and grows, and we just turn them into an absolute monster. And in reality, they're just like us. But we've turned them into monsters in our minds. And it's usually something that we could have done. That we've caused this to happen in our own minds. That's not living in liberty. That's why even the forgiveness that Jesus talks about, we have so much power in our own desire to follow the Lord, in our faith. There's so much power that if we don't let these things get a hold of us, we can overcome them. And we forget about all the big things that we think we might fail in. It's those little things that bring the chains to us, that bind us. Forgiveness. You know, somebody might have done us wrong 10 years ago or 20 years ago. And we just heard a man say a few weeks ago that he said, I cannot forgive, or I will not forgive. There's no way I can forgive that person for what he's done. He's allowed this one little thing to grow in his own mind. And the man that did it probably couldn't even remember what happened in the situation. But he's allowed it to grow in his own mind till it controls him. It's become a monster. It's become one of the things that is bigger than God in his own mind. There's no greater nation in the world than imagination. And there's nothing, there's no greater, imagination, the biggest as it can be, is absolutely nothing. It's nothing. You know, whenever we stand before God and we're judged by this law of liberty, when we stand before God and all those things that we were afraid of, and they won't be found. They won't be there. Because they're nothing in the first place. We've just created them in our own minds. The things that we can't see, God, Christ, and His power to defeat Satan and all that he has, to overcome the grace that he offers, the mercy and the love that he has for us, are just going to be so overwhelming. And all these things that scared us on this earth are going to be nothing. Verse 13 in James chapter 2. Verse 12, so speak and act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. And it says, for judgment will be merciless to the one who has shown no mercy. And mercy triumphs over judgment. You see these things that God has for us. You know, judgment will be merciless to one who has shown no mercy. But mercy triumphs over judgment. Our response in faith is to believe what Jesus said about forgiveness. If you forgive, you will be forgiven. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You know, if we live by those laws, that's what he's talking about. This is the laws we're going to be judged by. The laws of liberty. If we show mercy, it will be multiplied to us. If we show forgiveness, it will be multiplied to us. If we show trust and faith in God, it will be multiplied to us. All the rest of the stuff's nothing. There's no power in it, no strength in it, unless we give it to it. That's what God did when he created us. He gave us a will to make this choice for ourselves. That's humanity. That's what God made when he made humans. You know, men sinning in the Garden of Eden wasn't God's fault. It was God opening himself up to the vulnerability that we could choose wrong. But that's what he created. The results of things that go on and happen in this world because man chooses is not God's fault. It's ours. And we're thinking all those big bad things. But it all comes right down to the simple little things that you and I deal with. Are we going to let God be bigger than all of our little problems? Or are we going to let all of our little problems be bigger than God? It's just such a blessing that so many of these things are in our hands. And then let's read on here just a little bit. You know, verse 14, it says, "What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him?" These verses about faith and works. And we both have, we have so many false ideas of what faith and works are. Remember, faith is our response to God's claim on our life. Works is when we're trying to do something religious other than obeying God. What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but he has no works? In this context, when he's talking about works, it's the response to God, doing something about it. Can that faith save him, he asks the question, if it doesn't produce any effect? If our faith doesn't actually produce us doing something, can it save us? It says, if a brother or sister is without clothing and need of daily food, and one of you says to him, go in peace, be warmed and filled. That's what faith is. That's what this faith that he's condemning is just like, you know, people say they believe in Jesus and he's going to save them. But there's no response to God. There's no overcoming Satan. There's no freedom. There's no liberty. It's just when, like seeing someone that's sitting out there in the cold and you're driving by and say, be warmed and filled. How much good is that going to do them? If we saw one of the brethren that were in need, and you just said, you know, we called them up. Yeah, I heard your gas got shut off and you haven't had anything to eat for a week. Boy, I hope you stay warm and get filled. Bye-bye. Lord bless you. That's faith without producing the response to God that we're going to be judged by, just like this judgment. The person who's merciful, that's a response. Being merciful to someone, and that triumphs over judgment. That's the faith that he's talking about. They're right there next together. And if one of you says, even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. Judgment will be merciless to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. See, our responses to these little things is what takes faith that produces what God wants us to be. We sing some of these songs this morning. It talks about being with the Lord and living with Him in peace. The kingdom of God is right now. It's right here. It's in our presence, in our midst. It's here. One verse that says, God is not far from you. He's all around us. We can be in the kingdom of God right now. And whenever we die or the Lord comes, we can live the same here as we can in heaven. Doesn't mean we're perfect, but we can carry out that faith that loves our brethren, that loves God, that can forgive, that can overcome evil with good, that can triumph over judgment with mercy. May the Lord add His blessings. Anyone have anything you'd like to share? We'll meet back here this evening at 6 o'clock. And be careful. God bless you. Depart in peace.